Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. Today's sponsor is Thompson Island Brewing. Thompson Island Brewing Company is an independent craft brewery and a local restaurant that celebrates the coastal Delaware lifestyle. Named after an island in Rehoboth Bay, Thompson Island Brewing Company features a wood-fired grill for favorites that are reminiscent of beach picnics and bonfires. To find out more about this award-winning restaurant, including hours and menu, visit thompsonislandbrewing.com. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast. I am Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Local folks doing local podcasts. Pretty awesome. So today on the podcast, we have Ellen Kassoff and Todd Gray from Federal Fritter. Federal Fritter. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Thanks for coming on. I told you a little backstory over the phone about my wife. She's like, I saw this thing. And I was like, yeah, go on. She's like, it's a dessert. I go, I'm interested. I think it had cinnamon and it looked crunchy and it looked delicious. And I'm like, are you inventing this dessert in your head? Or because if you finally figure it out what it is, where do we find it? She goes, I don't know. And then the other day, I was telling her that I was having the folks from Federal Fritter coming. How do I say it?
Fritter.
Thank you. Federal Fritter coming on the podcast. And she goes, was that it? Was it a fritter?
It was.
And she starts rummaging through wherever she's rummaging. She's like, that's it.
The digits got working.
What did she see? What was this glorious dessert that she found?
Apple pie fritter.
Okay. Boom.
With a vanilla caramel sauce.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
And it's plant-based.
Yeah, it's amazing.
As in vegan.
It sounds delicious.
It's a popular one right
yes.
now.
It burned a fritter spot on her brain, and she finally found it, so I'm excited to finally
now it's get becoming you guys Pavlovian.
To have you on and learn about this adventure.
It is an adventure. We're on an adventure. We're always on an adventure.
How's the adventure going?
Very well. Things are good.
Nice.
Merrily along. Yeah.
So let's get into it. First of all, you're down in Rehoboth.
We are. We are at 62A Rehoboth Avenue, where a restaurant called Nuevo Taco used to be. So we're a block off the boardwalk.
You killed the taco place.
It killed itself.
Okay.
Good. The pandemic.
I'm okay with that. If you had actually killed the taco place,
no.
I love tacos.
Yeah. Leo, the owner, was very happy to turn the keys over to us.
Oh, you're right there.
Yeah.
I love Leo.
Yeah. We do too. We have
Leo.
We've put some good juju into his
so
spot.
So you're in that little spot.
That little spot.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Very cute.
That's a great. Well, my son works at Casey's. Casey's.
Oh, we're in there.
Everybody
all the time.
Works at Casey's. Yeah,
exactly.
My son's David, so he's the one, the tall.
He
with
knows
the, glasses.
The fritter shop very well.
He works at the one on Rehoboth Avenue.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
Buying
yeah.
my vanilla chai latte.
he had a funny yesterday. If that was your boy.
Actually, it may not have been. He works. He usually works the weekends.
Okay.
So he's in school. He's only 15. So it wasn't uh-huh. him, but he is down there on the weekends.
We've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time. We've been saying Kaisy.
Yeah.
Well, I just, and I think I just said Casey's. So I screwed it up.
Yeah, Casey's, right.
I think it's Kaisy Delights, but we're here for Federal Fritter.
Okay.
So I don't
but they're very good neighbors, and their coffee goes great with apple pie fritters.
The owner's a very nice man.
And you know what? Yeah, Terry.
Terry, yeah.
Terry. I can't even pronounce his damn name either.
Terry.
But, you know, one of the topics that when we first started doing this podcast was cooperation over competition. You know, there's this, you know, back in the day when you open something and all of a sudden you hear another one open, you're like, oh, God, there goes business.
We were just talking about this last
where
night.
Where now it's like, you know, how can we help, right? How, because... Listen, Rehoboth Beach, the downtown Main Street area, it's almost become a village. You almost really have to, I don't know if you guys ever knew Matt Haley. I don't know how long you've been here, but he was, he owned Sodell. Him and Scott Cameron started Sodell.
We know about them, and yes, we've been to their establishment.
Matt passed away, but Matt was always about, you know, helping, you know, regardless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He owned a lot of business, a lot of restaurants, but if there was another restaurant, Gretchen Hansen was a great example, but if there was ever a problem and they call Matt and say, hey, we're, you know, our power's out or our staff didn't show up, mm-hmm. he would always show up and help, even though it's a competitive restaurant, you know, a competition. It's always about cooperation over competition, that high road.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is that...
We were just discussing this last night. Yeah. Well, first of all, we've been married almost 25 years. And we've
congratulations.
Been in, thank you. And we've been in business...
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Our son thanks us, too.
It's a battle nowadays.
Well, we have fun. And we've been in business together 23 years.
Nice.
We've owned a restaurant in D.C. together for 23 years. And so not only the village approach... with each other and the family, because we are a family owned and operated entity, that definitely trickles out to our community. And we were just having this conversation last night. When we decided to open Federal Fritter, we immediately looked around us and said, we're not going to do what they're doing. We're not going to do what they're doing. We're not going to do what they're doing, because we just wanted to fit into our own complementary box.
Right.
That could complement the businesses. And sure, there's always a little air of competitiveness among mm-hmm. any small business, which is makes it fun. But our goal is to come in and complement what is already on Rehoboth Avenue. And we consciously avoided carrying things at Kaizi. We don't have a coffee program. Right. But we'll send them next door to get the coffee that goes great with their apple fritters.
Sure.
And they'll sit outside, or we're telling people to go... while they're waiting for their fritters, we have a texting when it's ready. Go check out Sullivan's, go check out the toy store, go get some chocolates or the sunglass store. So we're trying to spread, and they send people to us too. So it is a village, and we need a village right now more than ever, coming back online after, you know, shutdown.
I feel like this summer's going to be insane.
I feel it in the air.
Yeah, I feel like we need help. We're going to be inundated with people. I feel like this is the summer where everybody...
This is going to be the summer of love.
I mean, last year's summer wasn't the worst.
Mm-hmm. No, we were right? watching it, yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, we were a lot of uncertainty, but very busy here.
Yes, they say the roaring 20s are roaring.
Well, anyway. They're like, you know, and even in my business, they're like, oh, I'm so afraid. Do you have any openings for a highlight? are you afraid or what's going on?
I'm
petrified. Can I get highlights?
I snuck in to see my hairdresser back in the early days of the pandemic.
Don't tell.
That was in D.C. It's fine.
That's hilarious.
You're like, Nancy, as you pass Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
I think
she
was in California.
She was a week before me.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's too funny.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, it's a better life. You know, the restaurant business is tough enough. I remember my buddy Matt, because I know how to fix that restaurant. He's like, do you know anything about restaurant business? And I'm like, no. He's like, you really need to shut the F up. And I'm like, got it. But it's a tough business. But, you know, to tie your hands behind your back, I won't bring up any examples, but I've seen a couple places, you know, stand tough on a topic and lose. When it comes to that moment... Humble Pie is best served warm, you know, and you don't ever want to get there, but to help out, and you know, and people start recommending, go check out, you know,
or just
Federal
listen
Fritter.
To what your customers want.
Right, exactly. So I love that. I love that that you can all be down there. I know, you know, I've had lots of small businesses on this podcast that we've talked about. Like if a competition opens up, send them flowers.
Yep.
You know, welcome
or fritters.
Them. Send them a fruit. Send them Federal Fritter fruit basket. But you know, you send them something and you say, "Listen, hey, we're here if you need us."
Absolute
we're here.
Right approach.
And
always.
You start off on a whole better on the better foot.
Our DC restaurant has been located since 1999, a block in front of the White House. So our village there is global.
Nice.
And when we opened, we actually started opening in 1998. But when we opened in 99, you know, we were one of two or three restaurants in the immediate vicinity. So we've had 23 years of watching other restaurants come in and, you know, sort of seeing the way other people come into a new market. And D.C. is a little different than here, but a lot the same. You know, there's a lot of density. It's a downtown market. And restaurants. So we started out being friends with new restaurants. We need to borrow trash bags. Hey, you got any flour I can borrow? We really do go next door for a cup of sugar.
Right.
You know, so I think one of the things that gets, especially restaurants, knowing each other is borrowing stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then you judge them on whether they give back to you or not. There's some restaurants who keep borrowing and borrowing and never give back. But sometimes, you know, well, we use tablecloths at that one, and you're out of napkins. It's a Saturday night, and you're like, you can't get the linen company there, and you have friends that you can call in the neighborhood. They might not have the same color napkin as you or whatever, but they'll give you 50 napkins, which is a big deal because then they run out too. So, you know, there's a lot of need to be a tighter village than to drive each other apart, because we all need something in this business every day.
Well, it's tough enough, right? And to, you know, I've seen people with a bit of an edge, little chip,
yeah,
and they don't make it.
Well, I think Todd could give you a great example. We were just kind of scoping out the area to buy, and we were looking at different restaurants. We've been looking for a while, and Todd can tell you about another chef he met here who's been pretty incredible to become friends with. And
Matt?
Yes.
Yeah. Matt DeSabatino from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great guy.
Half Full?
He's a yogi,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Half Full and Striper Bites and Kindle. And he has been a really great friend and supporter through this whole process.
And I actually used to do his wife's hair.
Well, and he's introduced us to everyone from, you know, HVAC repair to Soul Fire Yoga, who've been the most amazing neighbors ever. Like, they're terrific, too. But Todd, he's the kind of guy that chefs can talk that language with each other.
Yeah.
Someone told me that Finn's Big Fish, somebody bought Half
Yes.
Full.
Mm-hmm. And they bought Second
Street Tavern and Striper Bites.
So he's getting out of the business.
No, he has other...
Well, he's got... I didn't know about Half Full. I just heard about Striper Bites, but I think it was in the...
It may be Striper Bites.
Yeah.
It might not have been Half Full.
Yeah, it is.
But I know... I think they own both of them.
Yeah. It's a beautiful property, that Second Street. It was the Buttery many years
ago. Oh, yeah.
And we were really eyeing that property.
We were up to the plate on that one.
But we... Just a little more than we wanted to handle at this first juncture here.
Yeah, first swing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what you guys are doing. So you guys are selling fritters.
Fritters delicious by the seashore.
Golden fritters.
I've given her the nickname of Fritter Chick.
Fritter Chick.
Yeah.
I used to be Hippie Chick. Now I'm Fritter Chick.
So what's a fritter? If I'm going to picture something, I'm picturing something like a funnel cake. But I'm assuming that that's more than that.
Well.
Todd.
Okay. Well.
Fritter guy.
Well, I tell you,
fritter bro.
I guess we have to go back when we started with the risotto fritter.
Take them back.
Because that was
I do like a good risotto.
So I trained in Italy and ran an Italian restaurant back before we opened Equinox for 7 or 8 years called Galileo, and a great northern Italian restaurant. And we weren't doing risotto fritters, which are arancini. That's the classic word for them. But arancini are usually bigger, and they're stuffed, and they're kind of like a big, you know, kind of a little appetizer. And I always like...
But you went to northern Italy.
When I went to northern Italy in Piedmont and trained, and I saw them making them, and then I thought, you know, they could be kind of cool if they were a little smaller.
Okay.
And so I put them on our menu at Equinox when I first opened, and they've never come off. And
there's been rebel uprisings when we've taken them off the menu because they're... Poppable,
delicious. I knew that they were worthy when a friend of mine was in Tuscany, and he was buying wine in Tuscany about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. He said he went into a wine shop, and he said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Washington." He said, "Is that restaurant still there that does those little risotto balls?"
Italian winemaker.
Coming from Tuscany.
You hit the mark, man.
You know, I was like, okay, we're good here. You know. So anyway,
had to probably feel pretty good.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And instead of calling him arancini, we gave him an American name, the risotto fritter. And
a lot of people have had a corn fritter or a hush puppy in the United States. So.
So is it like you take risotto, mix it with some flour or something, or...
You cook it.
You don't have to give me the recipe, but I mean, I'm trying to just picture what this is because I haven't been there. I haven't had one.
So it's a ball. So you take risotto, you cook it, and you cool it.
Love risotto.
And then you take it and you scoop it, make a little ball.
Okay.
And then we lightly bread it, and then we crisp it.
Okay.
And But we've gone beyond that. I mean, we are doing artichoke fritters and cauliflower fritters. And when you say the word fritter, is it rolled and breaded? No, like the artichoke is done gluten free, and it's in the a lot of these are Italian inspired. The Roman artichoke, from the south of Rome, a classic street food where you smash artichokes and they're fried. These are little more bite sized ones that are.
I thought maybe you'd bring me one.
We wanted to, but that's Rehoboth, and we have a place in Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't eat.
We're going to.
We're going to get some, don't you worry.
It looked delicious.
Today.
Yeah, so we've got a handful of savory, and we're doing the apple pie fritter, which your wife discovered, and we're doing an Italian bombolini. That's the other Italian name for like a little stuffed donut, small one though.
Oh my God!
And
bite
so
size.
There, yeah.
Bring that
you know,
too.
We wanted to do this snack shop because when Todd and I we traveled pretty extensively, and everyone thinks because of our fine dining background that we must sit down in every Michelin-starred restaurant and eat multi-course meals over hours. And really, we actually just like to go from place to place and have one appetizer and go on to the next place.
Mm.
Typically sitting just at the bar, because sitting at a table is too much like work for us. So either walking, because we do a lot of hiking and biking, and so either walking something that's walkable.
So you guys are foodies.
Quick hit it and quit it.
Would you say you're foodies?
Well, I think by virtue of what we've been doing for a living for 35 right. years.
There's not much else I do very well, but food is one of them.
Todd's being modest. He's a 5-time James Beard nominated chef.
Really?
Yeah, he's being very modest right now. He's a really good chef.
You know, my buddy Matt, he just won the James Beard Award for Humanitarian of the Year.
Wow.
What's Matt's last name?
Haley.
And where is he now?
He's in heaven.
Oh, he passed.
He passed.
Oh.
Yeah, he passed. It's going to be maybe 6 years now.
Oh.
But he owns all, him and Scott, they started all
the soda.
I'm
so glad to hear they got recognized by the Beard Foundation.
That's
because
great.
I know that they were real pioneers out here.
Oh.
And I have the tremendous respect for what Sodell and those guys do because their brand is solid.
Strong.
Definitely.
Well, and I tell you what, they do a great job, but they're always, you know, my wife and I just ate dinner there the other night at Thompson. I hadn't even eaten there, and it was, nailed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
So.
They know what they're doing.
But, you know, I'm so fascinated right now. For some reason, I'm in this Gordon Ramsay trench right now because he's just, you know, there's.
You know, he's right a lot of times, though, even though his delivery is. Well,
he's right.
But he is right.
I would probably say he's right all the time.
Yeah. Well,
he
no.
flirts with inappropriateness, especially back in the day. I don't know
shtick.
If some of that stuff would fly now, but
them English blokes, you know.
I love it when he does the jail ones, where he goes into incarcerated.
Yeah.
And works with incarcerated people, and that's my favorite.
Does he actually yell at them? It's kind of great.
I think he's a little scared.
I mean, he should be.
Well, and so that's funny because he's yelling, but you know, there's something in you know. The gift of being able to do what he does, but you know, that's like, you know, he calls you every name. You're like, yes, chef, what's next? I'm in it. You know, they love that. There's something that he does that just makes people want to learn and be better.
Yeah.
And it's humiliating and it sucks.
Because it's passion.
He's passionate. And you know, every chef, they're arrogant, right? They're all, you know. But you know, for what they do, that the work and that art, you know, it is
an art. There's visual arts, there's theatrical arts,
and to run that kitchen is just I love it. So I'm gonna buy a pan.
Come hang out with us. We'll show you some things.
Come cook with us.
We have a great kitchen there. That space that we're in, it's amazing. The kitchen, the back of the house is 2 times bigger than the front of the house.
Well, if Matt was here, he'd come over and he'd be like, "You mind if I come hang out in the kitchen?"
I love it.
And you would love it.
Yeah.
But I remember there
He's
was a place here at one time, and he showed up. Matt was here, and he used to cut his hair, and he'd come by, and they opened this place. I'm not even going to mention the name. And he's like, I go, "Come on, let's go. I'll introduce you." And we walk over there, and he's like, "Can I take a look at your kitchen?" He's like, "No." Well, who's that guy? And I go, "He maybe would have bought desserts from you or something for all his restaurants." You told him no. If you're nobody chefs don't tell chefs no, right?
No.
That's what you guys do. You love kitchens.
Yeah.
And so I'll come hang out. I want to cook.
Let's do it.
We Seriously, calm down.
I will, because I'm buying a pan.
We'll blow your mind.
I'll bring my own pan.
He's also an awesome teacher, and that's a hard thing for, I think, chefs to accomplish, is to not only be able to cook well, but to also teach well. And I think a lot of it is evidenced by the fact that some of our employees have been with us 20-plus years.
Wow.
And they've risen from dishwashing positions to sous chefs and chefs in their own right. So one lesson I learned, I used to be a food distributor for a very large food company, which is how I met Todd. And they told us in training that always say hello to the dishwasher. Always give some samples of whatever you have to the dishwashers and the busboys, because they are tomorrow's chefs and managers. And yep. Here I am 35 years later, and it is the truest statement that never ignore anybody in the kitchen. Everybody has desire, value, intelligence, and they're there because they want to be, because otherwise you would not want to work in a kitchen unless you really want to, you know.
Well, and I think, you know, and it's not a kitchen, but I try to make sure I say thank you to the guy that brings those carts up from the grocery store, because that's like
an attitude of gratitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Because it is a thankless job. And you know what?
It's not thankless if you thank him.
That's right.
There you go.
That's correct.
Start a trend.
I'm
pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. And it's a tough business working in the kitchen. And we are a kitchen town.
Yeah.
I mean, kitchens.
There's a lot of great food in Rehoboth.
Yeah. A lot of great restaurants, a lot of great food, and a lot. So that, where you're at, and then one street over, Wilmington Avenue, has a lot of great restaurants on it, both blocks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
so I think it also, back to your point of competition, we used to say the same thing, you know, people say the same thing to us about our block of Connecticut Avenue, like, oh, you were the only ones in front of the White House, you and one other restaurant. Like, how do you feel about all these restaurants opening up? I was like, it just makes D.C. a better dining town.
Right.
The critical mass is so important. Fine, they might go to our neighbor's restaurant, but it makes people view us, especially coming in from out of town, which we all depend on tourists on, as a good dining town.
Right.
And that's more important than just the individual restaurant being a good restaurant. I think it's more important to have that critical mass and to continue to help shape a community to be a good dining town with lots of different offerings.
Well, it's, you know, when you first think of Federal Fritter, you think, oh, it's just this niche little fritter kind of business. But this is to come down. Well, but I mean, I'm only gathering it from the name. But talking to you guys, I'm learning that you guys are in the restaurant business. This is just another thing you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not like you went to fritter school and now you're just on the fritter train.
This is the casual side of what we do.
Yeah,
actually.
This is, you know, how many restaurants have you been involved with? Todd,
a lot.
Did I hear Michelin stars? The words Michelin stars out there.
Well, you know, we've done them all together. I mean, we had a seafood concept. We had a cafe and an art gallery. We had an Israeli restaurant and a museum.
Salamander.
I opened a hotel and resort in Middleburg, Virginia, called Salamander Hotel and Resort, which is just now a Forbes 5-star, and they're just absolutely killing it. So I designed all the culinary program.
Yes.
And so I've had my hands in a few things, but I love what I do.
And
this is why it's kind of, I mean, you always, you know, cooking is that passion for sure. You got to love it, because there's a lot of other things that probably you could do that would take a lot less hours in a week. But that's why this is fun, and it's a new territory, and we love it here, and we're so excited to be down there. And like Ellen said, we just want to compliment the town down there. And we want to do things that people are going to like and make friends with all of our neighbors. And that's what we like to do. I mean,
that's
we
why
like,
we get out of bed every day. It's not just about making the fritters, right?
Yeah. I mean, I said last night, we were walking our dogs, and I said to Ellen, you know, when are we going to have our industry night party for all of our neighbors and everything? When are we going to invite everybody in and just let it rip, you know? And like, let them have beverages, and let's cook for everybody, and let's get to know people. And you know, and then that's what we did for two decades at Equinox, and we will do the same here. I mean, we are community players in a serious way.
We serve locally on boards in D.C., and I started a fundraiser for the Humane Society of Washington that went on for 12, 14 years, raised millions, you know, with using chefs in the industry, pastry chefs, and it was the first event in D.C. where you could bring your dog to one of those fancy walk-around-eat-style events. So we always look for ways to use our platform that we have a pretty good one nationally.
Pastry, sugar and champagne. Pastry chefs, lots of champagne and booze, dogs, and lots of people in black tie. It was an absolute trip.
It was a trip. There's Google it sometime.
So what brought you to Rehoboth? I mean, I know a lot of people in D.C. love to come vacation here. I'm assuming that kind of
D.C. summer capital
happened. And then you just kind of got excited about, we should open a place down here one day.
Go ahead.
Well, I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Todd grew up in Fredericksburg, went to high school in D.C. area. And so, of course, we always came here. My dad actually was one of the first people to buy a lot in Ocean Pines back in the 60s. We used to pitch our...
My dad had a lot in Ocean Pines.
Right? That was like a thing to do. And
he sold it. I wish I wouldn't have sold it so soon.
Exactly. And we used to use our 1968 camper van, like hang there with some tents. It's funny, like green army type tents and four kids and mom and dad and a dog and camp out in Ocean Pines. So that's like my earliest experience.
That's all before internet.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually like went fishing.
Actually talked. And stuff.
Right. Well, I don't know if we were talking, but like I said, three brothers. But so we've always been coming here, and a lot of it had to do with our son graduating from high school and going off to college. We were like, what's next? And, you know, we're avid bikers. We're very much love the state park. We have two very large German shepherds who are like toddlers, and they fell in love with swimming in the Herring Point. We discovered Herring. So I think Herring Point really brought us here because we love that state park. The dogs, we got such a kick out of the dogs swimming here. And we were doing a lot of Airbnb-ing, just finding places for dogs and coming in the summers. Then our son graduated and went off to college. And I think we came straight here. And I was just looking on my phone. I found a condo in Lewis in 2018. And we were so psyched because we could bring the dogs and leave our stuff and, not be gypsies all the time. And then we started talking in 2018 so we've been looking for a while. And, all the stuff that's happened between now and then happened. And anyway, so we were looking at several other locations, just thinking that, we're in our mid-50s, like, of course, we're staying in D.C., but starting to think about the next phase,
Retirement.
Yeah, but we'll never retire, really.
We
want to work in an environment, that we would retire in. So.
Well, and if you're doing something you love, you're never working anyway. So.
Exactly. We
call it whatever you want, but at least you're spending more time at the beach.
Yes, and out, I'm learning so much about the birds, the wildlife here. We love it being outside, and then the bonus came when the Rails to Trails project became, so much more conjoined together, and things just started rolling, and we were looking at a bed and breakfast to buy. We were looking at Second Street. We were all over with a broker. She calls us, and she's like, you're not going to believe this cute little spot, which was Nuevo Taco. However, ironically, we had already started Federal Fritter in D.C. in February of 2019, just before the pandemic hit. We actually had a contract to do the run of the Hamilton at the Kennedy Center, just about to sign on that, to do kiosks. And I wanted to go on tour. I wanted to get to the further festivals and do this where the music was, Firefly and all that. So we started a pop-up in front of the restaurant in D.C., and we're eyeing space there. So everything happened in the world. It shut down the whole universe. And during that time, we discovered Nuevo Taco space, which used to be Mixed Tech also.
And wasn't it Modern?
Modern Mixture.
Yeah, I was like, I get confused because I know it as Modern Mixture.
It's changed hands, so a couple of times, but they were all working together. But anyway, so we walked in there and both of us kind of looked at each other and were like, this place has juju. This is it. So we took it out of D.C. and brought it here, where it was originally slated to be opening in Washington.
Yeah.
And we decided this little place in Rehoboth, and the landlord, it's also a mom and pop, a family owned building, so it's not, the corporation.
Well, that is a great spot. I mean, because it's, you're you're crossing the street, you know, your people, I mean, that's a pretty busy corner, mm-hmm. you know, between, you know, Cooter Brown
or whatever.
Is Cooter Brown still even there?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's just a busy,
for some reason
I thought you were down a little farther in that crossover. It kind of takes you over to Wilmington. It's kind of that cute little...
Mm-mm. The little alley right there.
That little alleyway. And I, for some reason, thought you were in there, but you're...
Right by in the Snyder Building.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're actually... That actual building we're in was actually brought over from Bethany in Beach in the 60s. It's old, classic. It took us 3 months to clean it out. Just a lot of stuff. And it's been built onto and reconfigured so many ways and... I mean, I even cleaned out the alley in between the two buildings and started a garden, a food garden, and I'm going to grow his stuff.
Every
bit of space is being utilized.
So is he out of the restaurant business?
Leo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has moved up to Pennsylvania.
I think he was a biologist. I don't think he was ever a
He was a biological engineer, something like that. Right. And
he threw everything at it because he was around. He had some. I mean, I used to love his roll tacos. They were good. Yeah. He had great food. So sorry, Leo.
Yeah,
we love you, Leo.
His loss.
Yeah. Well,
no, but it was all very. It was no hostile takeover. It was he wanted to sell. No. We helped him out by buying him out. You know.
I think we've seen a lot of little businesses and restaurants kind of shift and change. Like this pandemic, a lot of people are like, hey, this is a good opportunity to get out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say this is a good opportunity to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised when I see like the Federal Fritter or some other, you know, some big moves of restaurants being purchased at this time. I'm like, see, that's why I'm not in this business, because I'd be like, oh, let's pump the brakes. Where people that know this business are like, this is it. This is our opportunity. Let's get more restaurants because it will be back.
Yeah. Well, exactly what you said, man. That's why you see, I mean, that's interesting you say that, because I look in all these, you know, all the online food websites and things, and we get, you know, we dial in every day, and I can't believe all these people are opening restaurants like in Washington, and they're just all continue to open. And then out here, you know, you see people that are opening, and I mean, but we have we believe in this out here, and we feel like you said, it's going to be a big season.
And we're not going to, we have a personal, you know, all of us restaurateurs are married to this industry. We're not just going to let it, you know, die off. We're going to come back reinventing ourselves. So what we operate in D.C. is a fine dining, white tablecloth, expensive restaurant, but we knew this isn't the time for that. So I know that word shift or adapt has been used so much, but you have to look at what's going on around you and what's going to work for these times. If you're going to open a new restaurant, you can't go up here when the rest of the world is here, you know? So we thought that this casual concept was the best thing to open right now in these times, where people just want to grab some food, take a walk, go outside, and you know, it was perfect. It's a perfect.
Well, and I said funnel cake because when I think fritter, I think kind of that. But what I'm gathering is this fritter is a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, a risotto.
Well, you have a chive creme fraiche, a tomato caper remoulade, vanilla.
So this isn't
caramel.
Just like load up, kids. We're gonna go get something with a bunch of powdered sugar on it.
The kids do love it though. We love that part of it. The kids do love it. But this is a sophisticated fritter. It has thought in it.
It's thoughtful. So if I'm walking in, good morning, Federal Fritter. I want. What do I want? Tell me. Give me a suggestion.
So you would want to do. You should have a frito misto.
A frito misto. Okay. I'd like a frito misto. And so, thank
you. What do you get?
Cha-ching. And then you hand it back to me. What am I getting?
You're going to get a cone.
A cone.
Okay.
I like it.
A paper cone stand. You got our logo on it. And you're going to get a couple risotto fritters, a couple of Roman-style artichokes. You're going to get a couple pieces of buffalo spice cauliflower tempura fritter.
This is all in this one order I just ordered?
Sure.
What's this called?
Like a piece of everything.
That's the frito misto. Frito misto in Italian means, you know, mixed fry. Like frito misto vegetables.
And testa means test.
Testa means,
test.
Frito misto.
Well,
like, so it's a mix.
Testa means head in Italian, actually.
Right, yes.
Interesting.
So you can get a mixed one, which
two
has
testas,
like...
Two testas, please.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's next door. Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Really?
Right.
Test on the avenue.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you get an assortment, or you do that, or you get the order of risotto fritters, and then you go out.
And then there's the artichoke one, which is gluten free. Yeah. A lot of our food is plant based, and some is gluten.
So that batter is gluten free.
For the artichokes,
okay.
For the artichokes and for the cauliflower, those are both gluten free.
And
now the sauces.
You know, the plant based thing, it's amazing. It's like the apple fritter your wife discovered. You know, if you can eat something that's plant based or vegan and it be that good, why wouldn't you? You know, if you can do that, why wouldn't you make it? Because there are so many people that appreciate that, and they, you know, are lactose intolerant, or they've got some dietary issues, and so a lot of this stuff is plant based, but it's just, it delivers 100%.
And then there's a lot in the sauces too.
Well, plant based is kind of trending right now.
Yeah, but we've been doing this since '98.
So. Yeah, we've been doing plant based for 15 years. You know?
Well, but I'm.
But it is trending.
Yeah, but it's trending. I mean, I'm glad you've been doing it, but it's trending. And yeah. I guess my question was, how much do you have to be flexible for trends?
We don't really follow them. We just kind of do what's in our heart anyway. So it catches up. People catch on to it. But honestly, we're not really.
Do you do fritters with meat in them?
No.
No.
So it's definitely no meat-based fritters.
No.
Okay.
And there won't be. No. Right. Oh. I mean,
I was thinking about the taco fritter.
Well, there'll be a restaurant that will soon be seating inside. But
really?
Yeah, it's got the back of the restaurant's got about 30, 35 seats and a back bar.
Yeah.
So we're starting to tune that in now.
So we'll always have the walk-up fritter area where you can just take and walk away, but then we'll have seating.
See, I'm going to have to come in because I'm thinking I'm still admitting modern mixture, and I'm thinking that, you know, because it was kind of like a
hallway of sorts.
Yeah, hallway of tables. Yeah.
So now we have a huge mural on the wall,
okay,
which is becoming Instagram famous. Painted by these two amazing graffiti artists, and it's all of these really cool DC landmarks
on the wall, painted
neighborhoods.
Yes, nice. Because
Bayou, the 930 Club,
okay,
Exorcist Steps.
Yeah, really the funky ones, not your typical Capitol
stuff. Are the Exorcist Steps in DC?
Yes,
yeah.
In Georgetown.
Wow. Yeah,
and I'll send you pictures.
I've heard some story about that.
So this wall was painted because in D.C. after the riots that broke out
in June.
Yeah, we had to board up down there because being a block from the White House, you know how that goes. And so they put the plywood up, and that's just the start. That's just to give you an idea of what it looks like. But they put the plywood up, and we in the hospitality business didn't think that was very hospitable looking. So I put an ad on Craigslist, and about 300 people applied to be graffiti artists to cover the boards up. So we met these awesome kids, I would say, from Baltimore, who came and put beautiful plant graffiti on our boards in D.C.
Amazing, like 3D. It was crazy. Like,
yeah, so we're actually turning those into tables now. We've taken the plywood down.
You saved the wood.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I'll save everything.
It's
in our garage. We're looking for someone with a bandsaw
and you know, whatever. It is. I mean, it's historical what went down.
Yeah.
You know? And we were right.
We were on CNN and the nightly news. Right. So these same kids who we obviously got to know while they were painting, spray painting, it's graffiti art, these boards, then fritters started happening. I was like, hey, guys, want to come and do a mural in this, you know, restaurant we're getting in Rehoboth? And we have a three-bedroom apartment above it. So our little crew came, and they were staying upstairs. And it's so boho. And they would come. They've been painting this mural for since November. And so a lot of people in the neighborhood would see them painting on the old Nuevo Taco walls because it's this huge, long wall.
It's 40 feet long.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we designed, another long story, but when we were at the Corcoran Gallery of Art, we did a lot of art openings there. We love local artists. I've actually hired another two since then to do other things. But
wow.
So we did this DC subculture in the 80s exhibition. There was a person named Disco Dan who went around DC and tagged. Back then it was called tagging, but it was spray painting.
Yeah.
And it became a huge cultural issue. Is spray painting art or is it dirt? You know, so there was, of course, big civil battles about. So then wall murals became more popular in DC. There's the Madams Oregon, the one of
Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. So they become landmarks. So these kids came and painted in the style of this DC subculture of the 80s, where the music of funk became really big. We're big music fans. And these places that we would see real DC funk, like even like Talking Heads at like Lisner Auditorium and the 930 Club and the Bayou Club's now since gone. They painted all of this. It's actually spray paint. It's amazing to see. So this is all now on the wall covered in cherry blossoms.
Wow.
So when you walk into Federal Fritter, it's a federal city, and we're from D.C., so that's why the name Federal Fritter, and then a lot of federal landmarks that mean a lot to Todd
with and I. With a very hip edge on it.
Loud music. I get in trouble for loud music.
Is it on your Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Can you bring it up? Yeah, can I see it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to come down, but I want to see it.
You really
should. Come in here, listen to some rock and roll, and hear some of Ellen's country music, and eat fritters, and have a cocktail.
Bluegrass, country, you know? Grateful Dead.
We were listening, talking this morning about the fact that they've tentatively announced Firefly.
Have you heard? Oh, my son's been. Yeah, I know all about it.
I've been.
Yeah, she's going up there to do the pickups because, yeah.
No, we go. We love Firefly.
Yeah.
September this year, huh?
Yeah, 23rd to the 26th. Hopefully they have it. We're big.
I hope they take Federal Fritter as a vendor.
I wish we could get vending up there so we could start selling fritters. That's what we'd like to do.
Do they? I don't even know. Do they do vendors anymore?
They did a couple years ago. Ellen saw him, and they said you could have applied, but we were too late for it. And we were going to sit out there and sell fritters.
The first year I went, it felt like they had some vendors, like Grotto's maybe was there. But over the years, it just feels like they've changed it to like pizza place, like they've created like these names, and then they sell pizzas. There's no
corporate.
No real corporate or no copyrighted, you know, lemonade, laid back lemonade, and it's like $8 or you know, the pizza place, or you know, so it doesn't feel like they're bringing in any local restaurants.
We're the right thing for them.
No, I think you'd be absolutely perfect.
It'd be cool.
Grab a cone of fritters.
Be awesome.
So plant-based? For God's sakes, I tapped the wrong thing. I'm a tapping.
The Grateful Dead is playing in the background.
Oh, that may cost us. That may bring us.
There you go.
Oh, actually, let me just turn down the volume. These goddamn iPhones.
It's because my cover doesn't fit properly.
No, it doesn't. Ellen.
I'll just tap it off.
It's all right. I just wanted to see. I'll have to come down because I want to see the wall. I want to try.
Eyes of the World just won't stop playing. Jerry just wants to keep going, and we would turn him off.
Jerry, Grateful Dead. So when was the grand opening? When was the ribbon? I mean, did you do a ribbon cutting?
We're supposed to with the chamber because we did join the Chamber of Commerce. Okay, now I can see it. We're supposed to do all that. I don't know. We've been a little subtle about this because we don't want to. We're just kind of figuring it all out. We're doing this organically, you know.
Well, I think we're trying to figure everything out, right? Yeah, I see it. No, it looks awesome. So the left side's painted.
Yeah, and then so I went around Lewis and Rehoboth and got a bunch of mirrors, antique mirrors, and bought them off Facebook Marketplace. I've been meeting the greatest people that way too. And so when you sit with your back to the mural, you can see that reflected through mirrors that are from around here, repurposed.
Yeah.
You know, I won't throw anything away. People's garage gems. So that's what you see on the wall opposite.
It looks awesome, and I'm excited. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than a place that opens and doesn't really do much. You know, as far as like creativity and
that's risotto fritters.
Yeah, those look delicious. So
Parmesan cheese on top.
I'm looking at a cup of some nuggets from heaven.
Yes.
This is delicious.
You will like them, I promise you.
I know I will, because they look delicious. So you opened up, you did your, whether it was ribbon cutting, so how's it been? How's it going? I mean, everything you thought, I mean, you're kind of, at one point we thought maybe restaurants in general would all close, right? Like who could, I remember Matt used to say, if you have a bad Memorial Day weekend, you could literally close down. We had a bad year. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, you're scary, but you did it, and it's open, and I'm hearing a lot about it. I'm hearing enough about it to reach out to you and say, hey, would you like to come on the podcast? How's it been? Is it going well, or are you freaking out? How are you doing?
It's going well. I mean,
combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're, you know, obviously, you know, down there, you're thinking that, you know, people are shopping down the street. Some people are coming in. I think that people are learning more about fritters and what they are. Mm. I think the thing that when everybody tastes them, people are coming back the next day for them. And I mean, Ellen's there full time. I'm kind of in and out of town, coming in.
He's my commissary.
I kind of parachute in and out, you know. But it's going great, and you know, we're excited. I mean, like I said, we're working through. We're glad that we opened now because we're learning an awful lot. This is a rather artisan product, to say the least.
Yeah, it doesn't like come in a box that you take out frozen, dump in a fryer. It's made from, you know, beginning to end by hand with thought. And
well,
I call it slow fast food.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm, you know, this isn't just a funnel cake. This is serious.
It is.
I know a good risotto.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been so much fun. I think because for so many years we've been on such a high wire in our endeavors, and just more and more and more every year. I mean, we've catered weddings for 700. We have a very robust catering company.
Wow.
And so, and I'm an event planner and designer, so I've got a lot of clients. And it just seemed like leading up to this pandemic, there was literally every hour of our day was just, you know, playing whack-a-mole, or like, you know, where's Waldo kind of moment. And then honestly, the pandemic on the good side of it just shut us down. And I feel like Federal Fritter, when him and I are once again standing in front of our shop and talking to customers, like, wow, it's been 30 years since we've gotten to do this together, because he was always running in one direction. I'm always managing this operation. You know, we'd meet in the middle for 20 minutes or have a conversation. Obviously, as owners, we have to talk about this. But it's been such a long time. And last night, even, we were saying, you know, this is a lot like Equinox when we first opened in 99. It was him and I operating together and having fun and having fun talking to people. And that's what hospitality is. You can get a great fritter. Look, I've had McDonald's French fries where I've had an amazing experience because the person who sold it to me, the person I'm with, the place I'm in, the frame of mind you're in makes a great meal. Not necessarily, you know, but now we have an opportunity to turn people on. We love seeing people's reaction, like, whoa, and like young kids, old people, everybody in between, when they have one, they're like, wow, this is just a little bite of delight. And we get great satisfaction out of that because that's what we do. We're hospitality people. We're hospitalians. And so that's what, you know, makes us fired up every day, is giving people not only just some good food, but teaching them something new about food. We've done so much teaching. We've taught in the Virgin Islands. We've taught, you know, all over culinary. We're doing them now on Zoom. And I mean, we've been in so many different
cooking and teaching in the aspects. Teaching in the alleys of Israel.
Yeah, right. We taught in the Middle East. We've toured there and brought. We opened in the Museum of the Bible in D.C. We've opened in the Corcoran Gallery of Art. So we're used to being around visual arts and creating a culinary art program around visual arts. And now, you know, we're not so far removed anymore from all the projects we're doing and all the people that used to work for us, unfortunately, during all this, you know. Right. But now it's just him and I again, and it's, like, really fun because we know how each other thinks. We play off, you know, he's got his culinary skill. I got the front of the house, and, you know, the kitchen right now is so tight up front because of how we're organizing it with people not coming in. You know, we ran through a day together, do it today, and have fun with it, and that's what hospitality is all about.
So nobody comes in?
No, just kidding.
That's all the counter. See, we designed it with a counter, an awesome counter. She designed like this little cool tile box with this awesome screen, so that your menu's up there, and you have, you know, this awesome automated fryer that's like, you know, high pressure thing. It's like a Rolls Royce of fryers.
Right.
So we do some of it up there. We support it from the back, but we just now We know we're still waiting on some banquette cushions and things, but we will be opening in about a month.
That's our wall of gratitude. So everybody's on Instagram and everything. You can scroll through a little bit. So I started taking pictures of all the people that came in during our first 2 weeks and putting their pictures on the wall, because everybody's on Instagram all the time. And get your head out of your phone here. Look at our living Instagram wall. So I've been posting everybody's pictures on the wall when you come in. And that we call it the wall, you know, of gratitude, because we're so grateful that they ventured in to try a fritter. And it's great when they come back an hour later with like six family members in tow.
Well, when I said that, I meant like, you know, I know that they cut down how many people we can have in.
Yeah.
Do you eventually want to get back to having people in your restaurant?
That's why.
We're
places like Chick-fil-A. I don't think Chick-fil-A is ever going to have people back in. I think they're making more money fine-tuning that drive-through machine that they have now in place than have people come in.
You know what? If you had the layout and you had the floor plan for a drive-through,
right?
I heard Pizza Hut's doing the same thing. I mean, but that's not us. We're touching
people.
We've got nice seating available. We're gonna get that open in a couple more weeks. We're just tweaking it, getting a couple things for the dining room, and then we're gonna do a little bit more Italian stuff in the dining room.
I've eaten in this place.
Yeah.
I've been in here.
I'm sure.
It's
a lot of
joint.
People have.
I love this place.
And there's a little cool 10-seat bar, which will become the Eat Bar. So he would like to eventually take the wall down between the kitchen and the bar in the back and have a much more interactive experience.
Thank you. I got my cone of fritters. Is there a dipping sauce or something that I'm putting these things in?
That's part of the deal.
So first of all, if I come in here, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just here because I saw a fritter.
I'll be your fritter guide.
So there is a fritter guide to help me along in the process. Okay. All right. Yep. So
we'll chat it up.
And then I get my testa.
Yes.
Okay. It's Italian, right? Testa.
Va bene, sì.
Hey, testa.
Molto bene.
And I got my testa, and then you say,
What kind of sauce would you like?
Mm-hmm. Now, do you make this sauce? Please tell me it's not a packet of Ken's sauce.
Hey, man.
Not a drop of ketchup in that place.
I will tell you that people really get upset. You can make an amazing restaurant and you send them some Ken's sauce, Ken's salad dressing or something. They're like,
nah.
They're freaking out.
They freak
over
out.
Our sauce. No, they're
so,
freaking out.
No, I
mean,
they'll freak out if that's what you're doing.
Well,
so it makes me happy to find out. Because, you know, Gordon will say, you know, a delicious sauce.
Well, that's going to go. I was just getting ready to go there. You know, we started talking about Gordon
Silky.
And, you know, and about this passion in a chef. You know, one of the greatest positions in the kitchen is the saucier. It's the classic.
Yeah.
It's the classic. He's the number one guy.
He's
right below the sous chef.
Sauces.
But he is the top tier cook. He's the one that makes all the sauce, the white sauce, the brown sauce. So that happened to be me in my training in the French kitchen. I was a saucier for a really great top French restaurant.
Before the Italian kitchen was the French kitchen.
And it is, you know, it's
and it's
he,
more
he has
it's
mastered
more
this art. Of
it's more than just the flavor of the sauce too. It's also
how
Ellen, I'm gonna get you. It's about, you know, the texture, you know, how it rests on your palate, how it covers the roof of your mouth. There's like things that go on with these sauces, and if you don't, you know, you could ruin a whole relationship with a bad sauce, right?
Yeah.
Or how it dips.
Yeah.
How it dips in it once you use it.
Yeah, does it stay on? I mean, so this
there's
is...
There's a little scientific stuff involved. You know, how much acid is in this sauce if we're doing an aioli with mayonnaise, and how long does that hold? Next time you open it up, it's all liquefied. You're like, oh, no, the acid broke it down or whatever it is. Or you know a good example of that? Have you ever made homemade cocktail sauce before?
Yeah.
Have you?
I have.
Have you checked
ketchup
it out?
Ketchup and horseradish.
Yeah. Right. Well, horseradish and a little bit of Worcestershire and lemon juice. And I'm still to this day, and I haven't done this, but have you ever noticed after like 3 days it gets all gelatinous? Have you noticed that? But
He'll try now.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'd probably save it.
The reason, no, it's okay. It's still good. You have to kind of break it down. But it's like there's little reactions that happen with food sometimes because
with
of different...
science.
Yeah, exactly.
And science.
It is.
But the sauces are key. So with all of our six fritters, our six handmade sauces.
So run through the sauces.
So with the risotto fritter, you have a lemon chive creme fraiche done with not sour cream, creme fraiche, chive, lemon, grated garlic, parsley. Then you have the Roman artichoke that we serve with a classic remoulade, housemade mayonnaise, capers, tomato, parsley, lemon juice, lemon zest.
Oh, my God.
Then you get to the cauliflower.
Sounds so good.
House-made ranch dressing, again, but plant-based. A plant-based mayonnaise, a dairy-free mayonnaise with garlic and onion, and we jack it up with a little paprika just to give it a little zing. Then you go down to the tahini. The tahini is pairing. We kind of offer some different pairings. The tahini, that's the Israeli tahini. I mean, it's done with sesame, cumin, lemon, garlic.
Learned to make it in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a killer. Horseradish aioli, horseradish, lime zest, the caramel sauce, plant-based caramel, perfect cooked sugar.
So that one's for the apple.
That's for the apple.
Okay.
And then I brought a couple. We're doing something new today. Yeah, I brought a couple little treats out.
This.
I kind of go back to D.C. I go back to D.C. and I come back out with some treats to drop on her. Say, look, here's this. So today we're going to start doing polenta frites, or polenta fritters, fresh made polenta.
I love polenta.
You really should come down.
Yeah. There's a vanilla sauce that I brought out for Easter. It's a plant-based vanilla, for classic creme anglaise, the vanilla anglaise.
Mm.
But this one's done vegan, and we're going to do a feature this weekend with the bomboloni. It's going to be stuffed with a hazelnut chocolate with the vanilla anglaise with it. And happy Easter.
I should have eaten breakfast. I'm starving to death.
Let's go get a slice of it for
and
me.
And does the polenta
Titanic
fries.
Pizza is good.
I know. We were eyeing it on it. But the polenta fries.
Yeah. Again, you know.
They're coming today.
Yeah, they're here. They've just got to go down and cut them.
It's arrived.
Yeah, toss them in a little,
cornmeal.
It's polenta, and they're vegan. Polenta, water, almond milk. We put a little bit of fennel seed inside just to give it a little bit more aromatic. Then you cool them and you cut them, and you make polenta fries.
Like a batonette.
Killer.
Mm, they sound delicious.
A little tomato fondue.
They're going to launch today.
And have a good one.
The boat is launching.
Right. What about the parking this year? Are they going to bring up the wall, the red wall of justice?
There's been discussion.
Yeah, I don't know what the park. I know the barricades or whatever.
The barricades for the dining thing.
Yeah. But we talk almost weekly about how we're going to get to Herring Point and walk.
Walk
the way through Henlopen and all the way into Rehoboth and come up on the boardwalk.
We're either on our bikes or walking.
We think it's going to take about an hour and 45 minutes to walk it. And we think a morning walk down the sand would be great, but then we got to figure out how to get home.
About visitors,
so we have to leave some
Rehoboth
bikes there.
Beach and how people can park. Parking is difficult down there. But there's also the convention center has parking.
Well, you know, they have the piping flovers. I mean, piping plovers. You know, they block the beach out. I'm not sure you can get from Herring Point to Rehoboth at some point during the summer because...
Oh, that's the other way.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple communities that, at least with your dog for sure, but I'm just joking when I say that, but we always think that would be a great commute, but we are going to walk and ride it because we love the
beach in the summer. We run from the Henlopen down to the Naval Jetty.
This is ultimately what brought us here.
That's where I walk, yeah, man.
Environment.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But I was just wondering...
So I've been riding the Breakwater Trail.
I'm just was wondering what's going to look like. Because it's funny when you have a hair business, you learn a lot about everybody. And I have a guy that even works for the town of Rehoboth, but they've just the conversation about these barriers and the town
people love them, people
wants
hate
to
them.
Pay for them, or I don't know if you're going to have to pay for them or what how that's going to work. But do we know what that's going to look like this year yet?
I know that Rehoboth Beach Main Street actually raised money to pay for them.
Okay,
for the merchants who. Nobody wanted to pay for them, but everybody kind of likes them. This is happening all over the country, actually, where from Chicago to Rehoboth, where during this time we had to make streeteries. It's happening in D.C. too, where we were...
Streeteries? Is that what you call them? That's cool.
Streeteries. Mm-hmm. So, cool. And people, they've become so popular that a lot of them aren't going anywhere, and cities are rezoning their original plans and allowing these streeteries to continue to exist in the country and making roads more pedestrian and bike friendly, which they should be. So the thing is, you know, between the parking, obviously, and you put those streetery
barriers.
But they could be painted and made beautiful. I think we should have local artists come and paint them up just like I did inside there. They can be made beautiful.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I mean, I get it if we're in a pandemic mode and we need to keep social distancing. But once social distancing is over...
But isn't it nice to eat outside?
Yeah, but it's nice to walk, too. I mean, you know, all of a sudden just now because we have everything, we just don't give away everything. We're not giving away all of our sidewalks because, you know, there's a reason I'm not in the restaurant business. You know, I'm a hair business, but that doesn't mean that just because something goes wrong, I'm all of a sudden spilling out into the street. You know,
it could be controlled, too. I mean, and they can do it so that, you know, last year there was still pedestrian lanes to walk.
No, right. No, I was down there. I was just wondering what the town's going to look like. I didn't realize that we are considering turning the whole sidewalk of Rehoboth into now a streetery.
I don't know. I would say that's happening all over the country. I don't know if Rehoboth is thinking of doing that permanently.
I don't think they are. I think the ABC has a little different plan this year.
Yeah.
At least that's what we're hearing. And that
I think it's too narrow down there.
We've been here a long time prior to COVID, and we've done pretty well. I think that pretty much adds like 500 square feet to every business, and now...
Well, it loses parking spaces, which is more concerning.
Well, parking's an issue.
Yeah, definitely.
It already is an issue, and to take some out for, you know, pedestrian lanes to make more rooms for outdoor dining isn't good. And also, while I was talking to City, and I love dining outside, I'm all for it, which is one of the reasons our product is portable. You just go down on the beach and you don't need a table to sit. Yeah. You take it, walk away, go do your thing. But I think that I would not really like sitting out exposed like that on the sidewalk with so many people walking by and I've got my food in front of me. So I'm really, for where we are in our location, we've been talking about this. I don't think we really even want to put tables way out there. We're lucky enough to have an awning where there's a couple tables underneath on our own.
Well, and
property,
I think even like Casey's, they put a couple. They have some pink tables. They put them, you know. There's a couple. We go and sit there in the morning sometimes, but there's just a couple. It's not a whole dining section. So maybe if you have a couple, I mean, we're all trying to get along.
The
benches work great. Yeah, the benches work great. Yep. We want everyone to succeed, but
That's not going to make or break restaurants because I think that the indoor dining restrictions are lighting up. And it was sort of a solution. But like I said, in some municipalities all over the country, it is working, and there is room for it. And every municipality is different. Everyone has different dynamics between their pedestrians and their businesses. So you can't just rubber stamp the whole thing for the country. Every county, town, or city has to do what's best for them.
No, and I definitely agree. You know, this is probably I think that this situation has brought a little creativity to some restaurants. You know, New Mexico is a restaurant. You know, it's not a destination for the beach. There's a lot of outdoor, a lot of dining. I think bringing it outdoor has changed it, you know, and I think I could see that continuing into the future with something like an Albuquerque or something. But Rehoboth, we're packed in here pretty tight.
Yeah.
So.
And there's already a lot of outdoor opportunity with the entire ocean in front of you.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why we made this the way we did, and that's why we ultimately ended up on Rehoboth Avenue with this kind of snack because it's easy to take away and just go to the boardwalk, go to our friend's stores, go across the street. You can go. You don't need a table.
Right. No, and listen, I love you guys. You guys are great. I'm loving what you're doing. I love the I didn't try the food
yet,
but I will. But I love that you're a chef. I'm so fascinated with chefs right now. I remember saying, I want to open a restaurant, and my wife's like, you know the part right here where we're sitting down watching TV? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, kiss that goodbye. I was like, oh, forget it.
our son will be working here, too, when he gets out of school in May.
Just come on down and let's cook together and have something to eat. Huh?
I will.
Polenta fries are waiting for you today, seriously.
I'm going to bring my new pan.
All right, man, let's go.
Pan with a bit like a backpack pan case with the thing sticking out.
That's cool. That's how we used to go camping, actually.
We'll cook up some paninis or something in it. Huh?
So let's find out, how can we learn about you? Instagram.
At Federal Fritter.
At Federal Fritter. No underscore. I mean, it's going to pop up.
You know, Google Todd Gray and Ellen Kasov and it'll all pop up. It's federalfritter.com, at Federal Fritter, 62A Rehoboth Avenue.
If someone wants to ask you a question, can they message you through Instagram?
I'm so bad at that. Email me, federalfritter@gmail.com.
Okay, federalfritter@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I say send her a message on Instagram. Let's make her better.
Yeah.
She doesn't have enough going on.
Well, the thing is that people are like, why didn't you get back to me? When I'm sitting up front in that little spot where everybody comes in, I don't like to have my head buried in a phone when customers come in. Yeah. And then I get distracted and do whatever. I just want to focus on talking to people and taking them on a fitter tour. Yeah. So I don't, I'm sorry, I'm bad at that.
That's all right. I just
yeah, federalfritter@gmail.com.
But yeah, and it's a sophisticated fritter, right? It's we've got artichoke and we've got
risotto
and
apple pie, bombolini.
And know that when you
the artichoke is the best.
And know when you dip that fritter in that sauce that you made that. That's homemade sauce.
Yeah, man.
It's a complicated sauce.
I want you to come try. I want everybody to come see us. I think you'll be pleased. And
I was gonna be like, we'd love to see Tom come down the street again. Here he comes with that damn pan.
It's a multi-flavor experience.
Well, anybody that's putting it out there and trying, I love it. So if I can be of any assistance to you guys from this point on, please don't hesitate to ask. If you need me to post something, share it. We'll put it on our, whatever we have. We have
thank
all
you.
Sorts of stuff. So
very kind.
Thanks for having us on. And I love your Instagram posts. I do follow you.
Oh, do
your
you?
Breakwater Trail running activities. And yes, you're quite the runner.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
I hope that's what it appears.
Yeah. You're a humble runner, too.
I hope I look
thing.
Awesome. Well, Brian and I were laughing about that today. It's like, because I tag Brian, and there are people like, dude, you must run every day. I'm like, no, just a couple. But if it looks like we do, even better.
I enjoy jogging. I'm not a runner. I'm a jogger.
Facebook? Are we on Facebook?
Yep.
Are we doing the Facebook?
We are. I got all these channel lanes open for shipping. Bring it on.
Channel Twitter?
No, I feel like Twitter's a hateful place for me. I get depressed, but I can't take
it. It's a little too negative. I get it.
But Equinox DC at Equinox DC is always linked. Also, my German Shepherds have a page called Wilson and Hendricks in DC.
Nice.
And it's a
Equinox is that restaurant will be open. It's open in
it's
DC.
Been open for 23 years.
Well, you know, I mean, through the pandemic,
yes,
coming
it's
through,
been, we
everything's
never, we
good.
Have not closed. Yeah.
All right, great.
That's at Equinox DC, and that's kind of where it all began.
That sounds fun. Right across from the White House. That's special.
For a long time.
23 years. That's a few presidents.
Yes.
We've
seen a lot.
Awesome. Right.
We're in the sniper zone.
Oh, brother.
You know? Well, we keep our mouth shut. We're very...
No kissing and telling in our restaurant.
Nope. We've seen a lot and said nothing.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of the day to come hang out with me on the Rehoboth Social Podcast. We appreciate it. And like I said, if we can do anything to help, the door is always open. And please come back, and I will come down and eat a fritter.
I'm counting on
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yep. And I'll share it, and we'll love it. Todd, thank you. Alan,
thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours.